Morning, everybody. I'll call the meeting to order for the Five Cities Fire Authority Board meeting for June 15. Let's all stand for the flag salute and honor our flag. And ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Chair Harmon.
Present.
Board Member White.
Present.
Board Member Nichols.
Present.
Thank you very much. At this time, we're going to do an agenda review. The board will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The board should, by motion, approve the agenda as presented and/or revised. So does anybody have any announcements or need to change the order of business?
I certainly don't.
Okay, I'm looking at Chief or Attorney Hale. Do you want to move anything around?
I make a motion, we approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, and then all in favor, say
aye.
Aye. And the agenda is approved as presented. The next item of business is the consideration of approval of minutes for the board meeting for May 18. There was a couple of little typos that I already presented to the clerk, that was the only input I had on those minutes. Anybody else have any concerns? And if not, I would move for approval of the minutes as presented. We have a motion and a second. If we could have a roll call on approval of the minutes, Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Chair Harmon.
Yes.
Board Member White.
Yes.
Board Member Nichols.
Abstain.
Okay. So we have two for approval and one abstention. The motion carries. This is the time for community comments and suggestions. It's actually public comment when the public is invited to address the board for items not scheduled on the agenda. It's a 3-minute time period. Anybody that would like to address the board, this is your opportunity to offer comment, and I will officially open it for public comment. And public comment is closed. No. I do see someone up there. I do see a member of the public.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Patrick Ferguson, President, Local 4403. Actually, this will be my last meeting as President for Local 4403. On June 26th, we will be having a general membership meeting where we will nominate and elect a new president. I wanted to thank the board and management staff, the chief, for all the help that we received, the union has received successfully, actually coming up on the agenda, successfully negotiating size letter agreement, I don't know you, but when the new presidents are elected, we will send all of that information out to HR, to the board, and letting them know who the new executive e-board will be and who the new president for Local 443. See, told you I'd be here.
Very good. Thank you for, I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I appreciate certainly the guidance that Captain Ferguson has given the association and with all of the transitions and all of the really good work. I think that the board and the team, I include the team, has done. I think it's a really good thing, and I'm sure that will continue with the change of, I guess you call it the change of electeds for the association. Okay, and on that note, anybody else have any public comment? Yes, Vice Chair.
I'd just like to congratulate the PJ and the whole union group for their professionalism. It really is nice to be able to have a non-adversarial working relationship with everybody. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, and I certainly concur with that sentiment, and I do not see anybody else moving forward for community comments or any suggestions, so I'll go ahead and close community comments at this time and move to the next item, which is a consent agenda, which there are no items on for this meeting. We do have a public hearing, and the public hearing is for the 2018 weed abatement protest hearing and issuance of abatement orders. And I will turn that over to Chief Lieberman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Board. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. We're asking you to consider this protest hearing followed by potential issuance of an abatement order should there not be any protest lodged or received. This is just a standard step in our annual weed abatement process. Inspections have been made. Follow-up inspections have been made based on phone calls from citizens. We've actually removed some people from the list based on their willingness to abate their properties before this meeting date. This is truly an opportunity for anyone in the public to come protest their notice on the list, and this hearing should conclude with the board taking action on the abatement order. That concludes a very brief staff report. I'm available for any questions.
I have a question. Since the staff report was posted, have there been any other removals?
Two.
Can we have those, Madam Clerk?
I'll let the APN number.
Yeah, sure.
For AG, it was the last one, 077.
Okay.
223-070.
Thank you.
And then there was one in Oceano.
Okay.
The second to the last, it's 062-098-017.
Okay. Very good. I'm still very pleased with the small list, considering how many times people have to mow this year. So I think that's awesome. At this point, does the board have any other questions of Chief?
No, it just looks like this list is smaller than recent times. Are we winning the battle, or?
That's an interesting question. I think people are taking care of their lots. I think last year, for example, and the year before, the rain kept coming and going. So it's still a challenge for us in terms of staff commitment and with the changing weather patterns, where we truly are driven by a deadline to get the list to the clerk, or I'm sorry, the assessor's office by mid-July. So that kind of backs up and defines what our process is. So we'll go out and do inspections, and then we keep getting more rain. So we actually this week had people and their landscape contractors saying, we abated this in April. Mm-hmm. We realize that it's taller than 4 inches, and we're going to make our best effort to mow it again, but it's really hard to keep track of this.
Well, and then do we get to an area, a point where mowing it is more, constitute more of a risk than leaving?
Right, and that's why it is kind of nice that we're forced to wrap this up by mid-July.
Yeah, because that's one of the things we're looking at in some of the spots in the village and elsewhere. Is we're going to go take a mower out there in the afternoon and mow with a
right.
tractor.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I see a yin and yang on that whole thing. Mm-hmm. We'll find out.
I think the same thing is true of the city easement along 4th Street. The weeds are growing up into the oak trees, who are very dry, and I'm concerned about that.
There's a number of issues, and I know I've presented this to the board before, and perhaps I can bring it back for a formal conversation. You know, city right-of-way and abatement challenges while we're holding the property owners, the private property owners, accountable to this. How are we doing as communities with our own abatement actions? And also, at what point is this a code enforcement neighbor nuisance issue versus a true fire hazard? So I would love to have more conversation with the board at a later date.
I would support that.
I would support that.
Let's move it to the code enforcement. Oh, did I already make a vote on that, on something that isn't presented?
Okay, yeah, we'll generalize that. Thank you. So at this time, if there's no more questions from the board, we have to open the public hearing.
Yes, absolutely. Let's open the public hearing for anybody that would like to come forward. This public hearing is to allow people to come forward to, I'll just say, plead their case related to their name being on this list for abatement. Perhaps they just mowed and we can assist them or work with them to a resolution before moving the list forward. But there are no members of the public here to do so. So I will go ahead and close the public hearing and any public comment on this item, seeing no one coming forward. Any discussion by the board?
No, not here.
that we take action.
Second.
No, let me. That's not enough.
Huh?
We're tracking for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't we have a resolution?
I would.
Please.
I would structure a motion to basically say that you'd make a motion to acknowledge that no protests were presented during the protest hearing, and that you are motioning to give direction to the chief to proceed forward with an issue of an abatement order to abate those individuals that are contained in the attached list, with the exception of the two parcels that 062, 098, 017, and 077, 223, 070 that have already been resolved.
I close the abatement protest hearing and issue the abatement orders.
Subject to the elimination of those two properties that are on the attached list.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Board Member Nichols?
Yes.
Chair Harmon?
Yes. Thank you, everyone. There are no continued business items today. However, we do have a few items for new business. The first one is consideration of rescheduling the July board meeting due to weed abatement. So the chief, why don't you run that through us through to inform us on why we need to consider a special meeting for this?
Certainly. It really boils down to a deadline that requires that all this information be received by the County Auditor Controller's Office by July 16th. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is July 20th. So staff is requesting the board consider moving our regularly scheduled meeting of July 20th to Friday, July 13th.
Is there any onus or omen related to being a Friday the 13th?
I certainly hope not.
I don't really have any concerns about that, but I just thought I'd mention that just in case anybody was concerned about that. Seriously, though, board members, are you available for July 13th?
I'm available.
I know. I checked my calendar, and I'm available. And not only can we commit Director Scholes to the meeting, we can give him a homework assignment or something since he isn't present. So, Ms. Nichols, do you have any confirmation about availability on your end?
I'm sure I will be available.
Okay. So if Director Scholes isn't, then his very capable alternate Barbara Nichols will be here. So is this something that we need to open up to public comment? I can, for the record. I think this is a scheduling issue.
It is an action item, so I would.
Okay, we're going to open up for public comment on this item. You guys know the drill. No one's coming forward. I'm going to go ahead and close public comment and move to confirm a special meeting dated July 13th for the purpose of assuring that the deadline for the county assessor related to weed abatement can be met. Do I hear a second on the motion?
Second.
I did not hear the second on the motion. We have a motion and a second. And roll call, please.
Chair Harmon?
Yes.
Board Member Nichols?
Yes.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Moving on to item number B.
I have a question.
Oh, yes.
Please. As we have advance notice on this, this could be a regular meeting rather than a special meeting.
Typically, when we have defined by statute or regulations or ordinance or bylaws a given date and time within a month, we'll typically agendize it as a special meeting.
Okay, I just wondered why it wouldn't be just another regular meeting. Oh, thank you. I'll shut up.
Good question. Thanks for the clarification, Attorney. So moving on to item number B, which is a consideration of a resolution approving a side letter of agreement to the International Association of Firefighters Local
4403, Memorandum of Understanding. Chief Lieberman, this is your item. Please go ahead and let us know what you need us to know.
Okay, thank you. I'll keep this very brief. The existing Memorandum of Understanding between the Fire Authority and Local 4403 needs to be adjusted in anticipation of the transition to the first three career firefighter positions. The current MOU has a title classification of Firefighter 2, which we're asking just be considered firefighter. The MOU also has a requirement of a minimum daily staffing. So currently the MOU requires that there be at least three captains on duty and two engineers. The MOU has to be adjusted in anticipation of these firefighters. And so the verbiage has been changed to basically say, for every three full-time firefighter positions that are approved and funded, minimum daily staffing shall increase by one. So as you know, it takes three bodies to create one daily position. So that is the second significant change, the most significant change. And lastly, the firefighter position that was always in the MOU but hadn't been activated since the end of the SAFER grant period, the salary ranges needed to be updated to reflect the current MOU status. I do want to thank the negotiating team, which included Ms. Malicote, Carla Maddox with the City of Grover Beach HR Department, Mr. Ferguson representing 4403, Engineer Joe Silva representing 4403, and Captain Tom Huey also representing 4403. Had great meetings, very productive, and we're here today for board consideration.
Chief, can you review again in the side letter of agreement says that the first sentence shall be replaced by the following. Can you go over again what the current MOU says, what
sure.
that language is,
sure.
just for the record?
So the I'm going to go with Article 2 first. We want to, it's basically a name change, a title change, where it currently says Firefighter 2. That was used during the SAFER grant period to differentiate a full-time employee from a reserve employee, part-time employee. We're now saying that there's going to be a full-time firefighter and there's going to be a reserve firefighter. So that's the first one. Article 4 on wages basically makes adjustments in the salary schedule to reflect the current wage standards that are in the negotiated MOU. And lastly, minimum staffing, which is Article 12, currently says, and I'll read from the current MOU, 24-hour minimum staffing each day shall consist of three full-time fire department captains and two full-time fire department engineers. So we need to amend Article 12 to account for the transition to full-time firefighters.
Thank you for the more in-depth explanation on that. I think it's important to get that on the record. I will open it up to board members for any questions for the chief. Vice Chair White, sorry.
No questions.
Ms. Nichols. At this time, I'd like to open it up for public comment. Public comment for this item. Would anyone like to come forward? Seeing no one.
Nope.
Seeing someone very slowly walking forward.
People come. I got prompted. As Chief had stated, a lot of this was language cleanup itself. I mean, Article 2 itself was just changing the word firefighter from firefighter 2. Article 4, which is wages, it was range 28 was always in, had been a component of that salary schedule. We were just usually, actually, officially titling that as firefighter within that range. And again, as the Chief articulated, the one true change was to the daily staffing number to make sure that represented employees from Local 4403 were now filling that full-time career spot, mm-hmm. one each shift, and that's where that verbiage came out. So again, we fully support the work that we did quickly for moving the side letter agreement forward, and Local 4403 looks forward to signing the document. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Captain Ferguson. I'll go ahead and close public comment on this item.
and bring it back to board for comment or any further discussion.
I'm ready to make a motion.
All right, then let's have it.
I'll try to make a motion. I move to readopt resolution approving a side letter of agreement to the International Association of Firefighters Local 4403. I screw up already?
Nope.
Memorandum of understanding. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call when you're ready, Madam Clerk.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Board Member Nichols?
Yes.
Chair Harmon?
Yes. Thank you. And thank you again. Like I said, I look at this as a team. Without this memorandum and the changes, this was one step in the link related to moving forward to full-time positions, which has been what we've been really, in my opinion, fighting for.
Dreaming of
and fighting for. So this is another checkbox in that process. So it's really nice to get that behind us. And now on to item number C, which is a consideration of changes to unrepresented reserve employee compensation. And Chief, I'll turn this over to you.
Thank you. And I'll lean on Ms. Malicote if needed, or
oh,
if she
no.
can fill in any blanks. Oh, no. I'll handle this. So the reserve firefighter classification, the hourly rates are currently between $12 and $14 an hour. As the board is aware, PERS has made determinations that affect safety classification of job titles, whether they're full-time or part-time. And among that is the reserve firefighter position. Arroyo Grande is still working for finalization and resolution with this interpretation with CalPERS, but it appears as though the most conservative route to take would be to assume that these employees will be enrolled in CalPERS effective July 1. Being that Arroyo, you know, all five cities fire authority employees are ultimately employees of the city of Arroyo Grande. When they're enrolled in CalPERS, they will also be enrolled in Social Security. So this item is before you solely to consider addressing the current hourly rate once the employee contributions kick in within being enrolled in both CalPERS and Social Security, and what the net hourly rate would be after the employee contribution. Staff is presenting to the board an option to slightly bump that hourly rate to try to keep these employees whole after their contributions for both PERS and Social Security. That's the essence of the staff report. I'm available for any questions.
And Attorney Hale, did you have any other comment for our consideration?
I do. Just as a point of clarification, in paragraph 3 on the first page of the staff report, it reads that the CFA will be required to contribute 12.141% in the years 2018 and 19. I just want to make a point of clarification. That's functionally a reimbursement back to Arroyo Grande for the expenses Arroyo Grande pays, because the contract of employment or the contract is between CalPERS and Arroyo Grande. So theoretically, I just wanted to make a point of clarification. These are not FCFA employees.
And if I could add one last thing, is that this was anticipated as we adopted the budget for the next fiscal year, so there's no additional fiscal impact by moving forward.
That was going to be my question, is it in the budget?
Okay. Ms. Nichols, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. And once again, this is time for public comment. It's important that we hear from the public regarding these items that are on the agenda. I'm giving a big pause in case there's a certain captain that needs to address this, address the podium, or perhaps an engineer.
Or Silva. Reserve.
Seeing no one moving forward on this item, I will go ahead and close public comment on this item and return it to the board for any discussion, questions that you might, any further questions that you might have before we move, consider moving forward on this. Ms. Nichols? Okay.
I move that we approve a resolution amending the salary range for unrepresented part-time reserve employees.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, when you're ready, roll call, please.
Board Member Nichols?
Yes.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Chair Harmon?
Yes.
with a side caveat to thank Treasurer Malico for, and also I know on the other item, the HR personnel, Ms. Christensen was involved to get these important documents to cross our I's and dot our T's as we move forward with the strategic plan components. So I thank both of you, you can thank Ms. Christensen, for making sure that not only are we in compliance with CalPERS, I wanted to do like a collective boo, but it's important that we get our paperwork in order in anticipation of, and not only that, compensate for the change in the salaries. So thank you everyone for that. We are now moving forward to item D, which is consideration of a temporary contract for dispatch services. Chief Lieberman, would you like to review this for the board and members of the public?
Certainly. In the fiscal year 18-19 operating budget, the numbers reflect a transition to dispatch services, moving to County Cal Fire, going to a truly dedicated fire EMS dispatch center. That's come after a long period of strategic planning at the county fire chief's level, a desire of the member communities that the true cost for dispatch for the Five Cities Fire Authority are actually housed in the Five Cities Fire Authority operating budget. So the numbers are definitely there. In discussions with the city of Grover Beach, Grover Beach has asked for some time to assist them in the transition away from fire dispatch. So an operational agreement was made saying that October 1 seems to be a reasonable date to begin with Cal Fire, County Fire. And this contract before you is a temporary contract between the Fire Authority and the City of Grover Beach for dispatch services through that period. There has not historically been a contract between the Five Cities Fire Authority and the City of Grover Beach for dispatch. Those contracts have been directly with Oceano and Arroyo Grande. So in a parallel path with this action that the board's taking today, Oceano and Arroyo Grande will be taking action items to terminate their contractual relationship with Grover Beach for dispatch services and will shift to this temporary contract within the Five Cities Fire Authority. That concludes my staff report. Be willing to answer any questions.
Vice Chair White?
Mike, any questions? My only concern continues to be if San Luis Obispo Cal Fire knows where we are. I do. I know, I just, dispatch is something that I tear my hair out because the fire guys have to know where to go where the fire is. And that whole thing, I just hope that when it goes to one county system, they're educated enough at that, sitting up in San Luis, that they know where the hell Beach Street and Front Street is. So, I mean, I just continue to be concerned about it.
Sure.
Chief, do you have any anecdotal based on your discussions around the table with Cal Fire and the other agencies joining? Do they share the same concerns? Is there anything that Cal Fire is doing for training purposes or anything that can reassure the board that the calls will go where they need to?
Sure. And I think to answer the question, we have to step back and say it's a bigger issue than any single organization. With 95% of the United States population using a cellular phone versus a landline phone, that really complicates dispatch. It could be someone driving by in a car. That happens quite a bit now. I just drove by a vehicle accident on this road. So incomplete, non-specific information leaves a dispatcher really trying to figure out where that call for service is. A lot of cell phone calls are routed to a 911 center dependent on how that cell site where the cell phone call was received is connected. A cell site sector, there are different antennas. There's typically three of them facing in different directions. Every one of those antennas can only be routed to one 911 center. So if you're at a higher elevation, it goes back to the historical deployment of cellular, which is going to go to the CHP because cell sites were built along highway corridors initially. At a lower elevation cell site, it could very well go, depending which community it is, to Grover Beach. If you're in Arroyo Grande or parts of Oceano, it's going to go to the sheriff's office because a primary PSAP has to be law enforcement. So then you really say, who answered the call? Was it California Highway Patrol, and where is their office? Is it in Ventura? And they're trying to figure out where in Oceano Beach and Front Street is, or someone on the cell phone